Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show live, and happy New Year's Eve, wherever you are. Now, some people watching this might be close to New Year's in India and places like that. For the rest of us here, it is early New Year's Eve, the end of 2020. Now, of course, there's many people who want to wish this year to be over and 2021 to be a big difference in a new year. Obviously, it's a calendar thing. You know, tomorrow, the world is not going to be any different, but hopefully your 2021 was filled with more silver linings, more positive things than negatives. I mean, there was no way to escape any kind of struggle this year. Everyone had various levels, some, you know, extreme at one end and some light at the other. But hopefully you had a great year. And I'm so glad if you're joining me this morning, because this is the last day of the year. And instead of just taking today off, I actually wanted to do a live, and I have a very special guest. I'm super excited because we're going to talk about recruiting, sales, onboarding, talent acquisition, challenges for small businesses. So my guest this morning is Casey Haston, and she's from VIP, which is a recruiting firm. So she runs that, you know, and does a lot of recruiting, great things from there. And then she is also the host of the We Are VIP podcast. So if you're not familiar with her, please link up with her. And here we go. Let's bring in Casey. Casey, good morning. Happy New Year's Eve.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I am great. I am excited. You know, every day is fun for me, and getting a chance to chat with you and getting a chance to do this and New Year's Eve, you know, it's a great way to start the day for sure.
I agree wholeheartedly. I just love it. Anytime we get to have a conversation, and whether we're doing a podcast together or just hopping on the phone to get some advice from each other. So I'm really excited to be here with you today.
So for the people who might not know, other than the intro that I shared, why don't you tell the people about yourself and what you do?
Well, I like to start with what I used to do and kind of give you a little flavor to what I do now, because I call myself a recovering accountant, because for 20 years, that's what I did. I was in the accounting space, finally didn't love it. And that's why my whole goal is to help people find their passion so they never work a day in their life. Fell into recruiting. And since then, I have just loved getting up and going to work every single day. I love helping people find new jobs, find the right jobs. And in addition to that, I'm a coach and a podcast host and just a continuous student. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
So you do recruiting, right? You want to help people get that job and do something different. And then you touched on it really quickly, but you are in the process. You're moving through the stages of becoming a certified coach, right?
I'm actually certified. People.
You're certified now. Yeah. And so how does that fit in? How does that allow you to do more with, because you don't see that a lot. I usually see either recruiters or I see coaches, but you don't see coaching recruiters or recruiting coaches. I don't know which one you would be.
It's really kind of a beautiful blend if you think about it, because every day companies come to me to find talent for them, right? But sometimes those companies have a bad reputation or a lot of turnover, and they can't fix what's going on to keep that good talent, or good talent won't interview with them. And so I kept hearing that over and over and over again. And, you know, they would say, who do you know that can help us, Casey? And I was referring them out to other coaches. And so I just thought, why am I doing that? These are my clients. And so I put in the time, took the year to get certified. And now when my clients come to me and they say, hey, we have this problem, we have this lack of employee engagement, lack of productivity, can you come help us? I can step in and help them. So I know it doesn't sound, it's not traditional, but who better than a recruiter who's talking to those clients and hiring their talents to go in and fix their culture if they need help?
To me, it makes perfect sense because being in organizations and having usually some kind of challenges either with recruiting or needing recruiting, especially in the sales call center type of space where there can be high turnover, especially when I go into an organization that's suffering now and they need my help, then there is that culture. And to think about a recruiter who can then help adjust the culture and correct and step in and provide guidance and the recruiting is different than, let's say, a standard recruiter who's just like, here's some people, good luck with this. Instead, it's like is in, you know, vested interest in making sure that the new talent and the whole company is, you know, going the right direction.
Well, and I love that you said vested interest because I want to explain there's a lot of recruiters out there, right? A lot of recruiters that do a lot of things. And I like to think that I go above and beyond when it comes to recruiting because I have no problem if I don't think that this is the right job for you, pulling you from the process, right? Because if I know that there's something going on with this company and you're not going to be happy, I'm not going to let you continue in the process because I don't want to make you hate your life. A lot of recruiters wouldn't do that. A lot of recruiters, because we're commission-based, would still push that sell through, right?
Right.
But we've got to remember, even though I'm in sales, my product has a brain. My product has feelings. And the last thing I want to do is ever put somebody in a situation like I was in for 20 years where you hate to get up and go to work.
Yeah.
So that is not my goal. But I wanted to tell you a quick story, though, on a vested interest. So I'm working with a company right now that I am coaching the VP that's hiring. So this is my hiring okay. person. This is the one that's paying me. And I'm also coaching her. And I will tell you, I have a lot more confidence hiring for her and bringing candidates to her. Mm-hmm. Because I see where she's going and how invested she is in her own growth.
Yeah. Makes sense, right? It if you're recruiting in a different way, right, than just the commission focus, than just, you know, throwing bodies into a company and hoping they work and hoping, you know, that it doesn't that they don't get fired or quit too early and you have to pay back your commission. You know, then you see somebody who wants to win and then you just want to be a part of that as well. I know I see that a lot for myself as a consultant where people want help with their sales teams. And for me, I'm always all in with the ones who want to do more and are totally open to it and, you know, want to help make their team successful in whatever it takes instead of, you know, this is what we always do and just, you know, fix this one thing. When, you know, when they've got that vested interest, then, you know, it's a totally different game for me as well. So I get it for sure. So a couple things. I put it on the screen real quick when I was watching, but Victor, glad you made it. He and I was chatting a lot of back and forth about this, and so glad that you made this. And then saw earlier Purnima joining from Denver, Colorado. Happy New Year's Eve to you as well. So let's talk about, let's just dive into this. And I mentioned it earlier in case anyone didn't hear me or didn't catch it. So you also host a podcast called We Are VIP. So podcast.wearevip.com. Check that out. I'll mention it later as well, but check out that podcast. It's a great podcast. Just in general. I mean, you're so skilled and so talented at it. It's just it's a fun show.
I have a lot of fun doing it. And just so everybody knows just a little bit about what you can expect when you go to the podcast, we kind of attack it on three different prongs, right? So the first one is we bring on experts to help job seekers. So for example, I had a certified resume writer come on. Didn't even know there was such a thing as a certified resume writer.
I know, right?
But there is. And she really put this whole package together. She calls it your marketing collateral for when you're job seeking. Great, great episode. I know some people are like, boring. She was great. Okay.
Yeah.
Then we bring on a lot of experts about, you know, how to do better in your company and how to have a better company culture. Right. So yesterday I just interviewed Dr. Ilya Gorgoras and he created the Happiness Institute and just wrote a book about that. And he talks about how that happiness has to come down from the top to have a good culture. It was amazing.
Always.
Amazing. And then we also will bring on those companies that we feel like are being disruptive or innovative and we'll spotlight them so they can share their story about why somebody might want to work for them. So that's what we do on the podcast.
I love it. Some other people before we get into the first thing. So Steve Weston is joining us. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Dan. And then Purnima, she put this and she fixed this part, but she says, and I didn't know this, she is Reiki Voria's mom. For anybody who listened to the podcast earlier this year, Reiki was a guest on the podcast. She is the global sales leader of IBM. And so she is fascinating. Awesome. She knew she wanted to be in sales from an early age. So it's totally fun. All right. So let's talk about recruiting during a pandemic. What did you see change? Cause you've been doing it for a while. And this is obviously a fascinating, interesting year for people. What did you see? What worked? What didn't work? You know, in with the companies and the recruiting that you did.
Well, I will tell you, like, in a second, everything changed when it came to recruiting, right? One of the promises we make to our clients is that we meet all our candidates in person. Nobody's getting to meet in person now. How do you navigate that? How do you, you know, pick up on those subtle nuances that you used to pick up on when you were meeting your candidates in person? Like, are they not looking me directly in the eye? Are they not, you know, what are they doing? Are they fidgeting too much? I fidget a lot. That's just because I got a lot of energy. But, you know, What am I missing when I only do a Zoom meeting with someone? And so I think the biggest change we saw was that we no longer could meet our candidates in person, at least for the first 3 or 4 months. And even now, we still don't allow candidates to come to the office just for safety reasons, right? So that's something we had to shift our mindset and shift the mindset of our clients, which kind of worked out too, because the clients now are also virtually hiring. I cannot tell you the number of my clients that have hired since March, never having met the person in person. So it's been really interesting, but I think of all the shifts that we've seen has been that virtual hiring process that's come out of this, and it's working.
Well, so what's interesting is that shift, right? Like you said, is the meeting people in person. Couldn't imagine recruiting, hiring, even internal hiring without meeting somebody, right? So then the world changed. Then everything changed in an instant. All the rules are out the window. You know, I have connections and people I know that run call centers offshore. And to think of a call center with hundreds of people in the Philippines or something like that, all now going remote and everyone working from home, unfathomable. You know, before this, and then to recruit people, to hire someone, to have never met them, and then to have them work from home virtually, maybe on a Zoom call every once in a while, having never met this person is so wild.
Well, and integrating them into the team as well can be, you know, how do you do that? And, you know, and horror stories have happened too. You know, we have people that, and we had this happen. We hired virtually, onboarded remotely, and 2 days, 3 days in, this person had never logged into their computer.
What?
Yeah. And we're like, how are they supposed to know you're working? You know, you've got to. And so they ended up terminating this person just because they hadn't logged in. So, I mean, you've got to think about that too. How are we measuring the productivity nowadays?
Yeah. That's a tough one for sure. Because obviously when it's in person and when people are coming into the office, you can tell, right? So somebody comes in, they're either there or they're not there. Mm-hmm. If they don't show up, you know it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know that, like, for our recruiters, you know, and I don't know about the salespeople that you've worked with, but it's, we don't like to do paperwork. We don't like to do log in the CRM, a customer relationship management tool, but we've had to depend on that. That's how we're measuring productivity right now, just because it's all we have, right?
You mean yourself, right? You mean you as an employee of VIP.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. That's how we are monitoring, because we still have – we've got some people that are in the office, but we have others that are still being – they have people that are high risk, and so they don't want to risk exposure by coming to the office. So we kind of – about half and half in the office and still remote. And that's how we are monitoring productivity, is just by pulling those reports. So.
Yeah, it's wild. Then it gets into this whole, you know, TPS reports thing where it's like, okay, so you're productive because you're doing the reports or putting in the data entry, you know, and which is always a careful slash dangerous game of, people who are looking productive because they're doing those things, but aren't actually doing anything to help the business, right?
Exactly. And they start feeling like, it's a very good point what you just brought up. They start feeling like they have to do that so they don't lose their job, but then they're not really being productive because they're doing all busy work, right?
Right. So. Yeah. They're just showing up and, you know, doing what they can to look productive without necessarily being productive, for sure. So what is some, you know, what have you found on the positive side, right? The positive aspects of doing this that, you know, you wouldn't have thought, right, that you could do.
I think the biggest shift that we've seen is that companies are trusting their employees to work remotely now, right? Because believe it or not, we have found that employees can be more productive. Problem is work-life balance, because, you know, you're living at work now when you're working from home. So we want to definitely make sure that we have that delineation between workspace and home space when we're doing that. But companies have realized that their employees are more productive and sometimes more happy when they're working remotely, or a blend of it, because there are those people like myself that need to see people, right?
Yeah.
I did not do well.
I don't see you doing well isolated by yourself. You're such a people person.
No, I was like, can we go back to the office yet? And they're like, yes, come back, you know? But I still do a blended too. I do 2 days at home and 3 days in the office. Just because I do find that I'm more productive at home, but I want to be around my people, you know?
Yeah.
I've got to see people. So companies, I can think of one client in particular that have found that they've been so productive. And here's the other interesting thing, because people are working remotely and they're hiring remotely and they're onboarding virtually, they're opening up. Like before, my clients were like, we only want to see people local, right?
Yeah.
Now it's become global. You can work from anywhere in the world. So I think that's been a real interesting shift as well.
Yeah. And I think one of the things before I get to Tim's question, which you kind of started to touch on, but on that note, I have a couple of clients that have experienced that as well, where they either had trouble hiring or had to set the bar at a certain level just because of the local talent or what they thought. And then now that it's more, you know, let's say not even global, but these companies are hiring nationwide or can, you know, in various places, it allows you to kind of raise the bar and get those people who want to work. Cause there's a lot of people who don't necessarily want to work. They want to do what you said about, you know, getting a job, but not logging in. You know, that's depending on the government money. There's a lot of people who actually make more by not working. And so there's that challenge.
That's a whole nother
from
topic.
A company standpoint. I know we won't get into that one. But you know, the nice thing is doing all of this remote and long-term being successful at remote does open that talent pool up. So you can find some really good people who want to be successful, especially if we're talking about sales, because, you know, it takes a certain skill and certain abilities to be good at sales. And you can learn the rest, but, you know, sometimes that can be tough to find depending on where you're at locally. So Tim's question, Tim Kubiak, he is, as I refer to him, my bow tie sales brother from another mother. He's always got the bow tie on. So he says, he asks, what challenges with work-life balance and company expectations have you run into with virtual hires? So there's obviously the positives, which is great. No, there's no commute and people are at home, but then the challenge is that work-life balance of, you know, what do you do when you're working where you live?
Yeah. And I think that was probably the biggest problem during the pandemic when everybody was shut down at home, because they weren't stopping. Right. And now you're getting like the commute time that you would have had driving. People are going ahead and logging on and they're working, and it's really hard to shut down in the afternoon because it's right there in front of you and you just want to get this done. So I think it's really important. And for me, I'm that type of person too. You know, I have a specific space in my house where I do work. And when it is time for me to stop working, like if I was supposed to be going home at that time, I turn off the lights. And to me, that's my indication, work's done. And I walk out of that room and I don't go back into that room until the next day or the next time, you know, I'm supposed to be at work. So it's self-care is so important, especially during this time, that you're really, you know, and as far as company expectations, I have not really seen a lot that companies have, you know, been putting undue expectations on their employees. I've kind of seen the opposite, where they're telling them stop. But that's just the companies I've been working with. There may be other companies that have been doing something different.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple things I'm thinking that turning it off and leaving the workspace if you can. Obviously, it's challenging if someone's working at the dining room table or, you know, wherever people are having to make do with working from home. But whatever you can do to turn that off, to shift it, you know, to shut that down. For me, what I found too is, you know, it's tough because as a solopreneur business person, it's a little different bucket, which is there's always something to do. And I am my own boss. Sometimes I say my boss is really mean and strict and makes me work a lot. But, you know, is to actually turn it off and then actually change my clothes and then, you know, kind of shift and get out of that mode. The biggest challenge too is this thing that everyone has within their reach is if you have your work email, company email, your LinkedIn, your whatever it is that you're doing work purposes, if you have that there, then there's always this need to like look at it or notifications that go off. So I always recommend people can put on do not disturb or turn the notifications off. And then from a company side, I think what's important too is I don't ever see companies who say you need to, well, not say never. There are people who do this at higher levels in organizations, but not like you need to answer my email no matter when it comes across. Like there's an expectation you should be working 24/7. So that's generally not the case, but the challenge is that the other side isn't stated, which is, hey, for me, I work at night and sometimes I'll send emails at 11 o'clock at night. If those come across, do not feel like you answered. They're not urgent. Nothing is urgent. Nothing is on fire. Please just deal with it tomorrow. It's just how I think, right? And so a lot of people are on autopilot and they don't set that expectation from the top, which is I work really well at 2 a.m. Right? Like I'm going to send emails. I had an intern who was working for me and she was doing marketing and creative stuff. She was always working at like midnight, 2 a.m. So I would get up in the morning and I would see these emails because that was her time. And then I knew not to expect her at 8 a.m. to be responding to my emails. And it worked perfectly, right? We knew when each other worked well.
Well, and I think boundaries, I love what you said about the do not disturb. I think boundaries are so important. And, you know, and I had a coworker at one time say, why don't you answer your emails at night? And for me, that's my boundary. So I have my do not disturb set from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And that's the time when I focus on myself, my self-care, and my family.
And I think that's important. You got to draw those boundaries as if it was back when, you know, people had jobs in a location and there was an email. So people like you and I remember those days where you worked a job and then you left that job and you might think about it and replay everything that happened and kick yourself for the dumb stuff you said, but you didn't have email and you didn't have phone calls that came through. It was just work was work and then you're done. And now it's like work from home and these devices that keep you connected or feel compelled and like you should be connected all the time versus, you know, just turning it off.
I love what you just said there too. Like you should be connected all the time. That is such a guilt word, right?
Yeah. It's so much. Don't shit all over yourself.
Yeah, that's
the
exactly.
key. Don't do it. So let's talk about, sales teams from a recruiting perspective. So you work with a lot of organizations filling in sales teams. I know a lot of recruiters, I mean, it's the benefit for recruiters, which is the high turnover in sales. Sometimes it's growth. Sometimes it's turnover. But what challenges have you seen? Not even just pandemic challenges, but just challenges in general.